Funding for North Shore with Brian French is provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Legacy Fund. Brian's with us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
We are here to talk about Teddy Gooch State Park.
Yeah.
And you and I were just talking before we went on the air because we suddenly realized well, first of all, I've been pronouncing it wrong.
And Teddy Gooch.
It looks almost in French like it should be Tête Gouche. Tête Gouche.
Right.
And so we looked it up. It's a French-Canadian word meaning meeting place.
Which is a perfect segue for the topic of the day. The topic du jour is going to be the new visitor center.
Ah, c'est bon.
let's
whole thing in French.
Yeah, let's stop now, right?
Right.
About a month ago, I was heading up to the Boundary Waters, and as I was going by, I looked over at Teddy Gooch as we were driving past, and could see that they had a completely new, grand-looking visitor center that was all set up. And Teddy Gooch has had a pretty small, modest little visitor center where you get your, you know, camping permit or whatever, and they had a little display space there. They had that for years. The park actually opened in 1979, and the visitor center that they had was built in the early 80s.
Okay. And is it one of those traditional sort of dark brown,
yes,
log state
exactly
park kind of looking things?
Yep, okay. Yep. Sort of, maybe we should call that the post-CCC era.
Right.
Construction.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty standard construction for the state park system. And so in the mid-80s, when they built it, they were experiencing about 25 to 28,000 visitors a year. And that was about what they could accommodate. By the time, in 2012, when they started construction on the new visitor center, they were experiencing almost 500,000 visitors a year.
Good grief.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that's the best I can say this month. Wow.
It's astonishing. So, they decided that, you know what, we just can't accommodate this anymore. And so they went to the legislature, and, one of the interesting things about Teddy Gooch State Park is that it's partly funded by the Department of Transportation as a rest area.
Hmm.
And then it's partly funded by the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, let's step back for a second.
Sure.
How big is the park? I mean, how many acreage?
Okay, so that's a good question. So one of the things that I always like to start with when we're talking about Teddy Gooch is Gooseberry, because Gooseberry is sort of the crown jewel of the Minnesota State Park system. Everybody's either been to or knows of Gooseberry State Park, and it's just 20 miles closer to Duluth. So Gooseberry is roughly about 1,000 acres of 1,000 acres of area all around the Gooseberry River. Teddy Gooch State Park is almost 10 times the size of Gooseberry. But the difference is that Teddy Gooch wasn't formed as a park until 1979, whereas Gooseberry was formed as a park back in the mid-30s.
Okay.
So Gooseberry's had much more time to become, you know, well-established in the consciousness of the public. And so not only does Teddy Gooch have 10 times as much acreage as Gooseberry, they've got everything that Gooseberry has in addition to access from multiple areas around the park.
Okay.
At Gooseberry, you can only get in from one area of the park. At Teddy Gooch, you can get in from the Superior Hiking Trail, you can get in from the backside, you can get in from the Highway 61 side. So there's lots of different areas that you can access the park through.
And that was my question. Is Teddy Gooch, does it stretch along the shore more? Does it reach inland more?
Yeah, both, actually.
Okay.
So Gooseberry Falls has some pretty unique and beautiful geology. But I got to say, Teddy Gooch just has all of it and more. Gooseberry is a little bit more quiet, a little bit, it looks a little bit older, geologically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's got easier slopes, it's got a little bit more rolling, whereas at Teddy Gooch, the geology is just remarkable. You've got Palisade Head, you've got the Shovel Point, that iconic arch that fell a few years ago, and then the Baptism River, which is the main river that comes through the park, has the tallest waterfall of the entire state of Minnesota that's entirely within the state of Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So Teddy Gooch, although Gooseberry is a wonderful, beautiful place to visit, Teddy Gooch has everything and maybe a little bit more.
And a lot more breathing room, it sounds like, as
and
well.
And now they have a lot more breathing room.
And the visitor center accommodates more people.
So the visitor center, when you first walk in, or first when you drive up, it was, so let me back up a little bit. The visitor center isn't officially open yet. They had their soft opening a few weeks ago. The bathrooms were up and running, and the cash registers were turned on and working, and so they said, even though we're not, like, all the exhibits aren't quite in place yet, but they said, even though that's not the case, we're just going to open the doors and let people start showing up. And so when I came, I just visited on Sunday, and there were over 50 cars in the parking lot, people everywhere. So even though they're not open, they're open for business. So when you walk in, it reminds you a little bit of the Gooseberry State Parks Visitor Center that they have. Now, that was designed by David Salmela, and it's been a very popular, it's been an award-winning design.
Right, and that replaced their old log cabin visitor center as well.
Yep, exactly, and that one was across the road on Highway 61. Mm-hmm. So the visitor center at Teta Gooch sort of has a reminiscent feel of the design at Gooseberry. It's not by the exact same architect, but I think it was inspired by that design.
Okay.
Some things that you'll notice, though, the gift area is significantly smaller at Teta Gooch than it is at Gooseberry. If you've ever been to Gooseberry, you know that they have a huge gift shop. It's not nearly as big at Teta Gooch. They do have a big function area inside, and then outside behind the visitor center, they've got a huge pavilion. They've got lots of seating, and they've got a big board that they can run programs from. They've got a beautiful big fireplace that's set up outside. So it's lovely. Now, what's interesting is I was chatting with one of the park rangers, and he said, in fact, the two buildings, the Gooseberry Visitor Center and the Teta Gooch Visitor Center, are almost identical in size. Teta Gooch is 1 cubic foot smaller than the Gooseberry Visitor Center. But when you walk in, it looks a lot smaller. And the difference is that Teta Gooch State Park actually serves as the base of operations for several other state parks on the North Shore, Gooseberry handles Gooseberry. That's all that they do. So Teta Gooch has office space for not only several state parks, but they also do, because they're a rest area, they have some Department of Transportation office space there as well.
Okay. Wow, yeah. So that really is a multi-purpose building.
It's a multi-purpose building. Now, one of the cool things, because it's partly a rest area, the bathroom facilities are open 24/7, 365. So that's kind of cool that you're able to have that ability to stop, even if you're, you know, heading into the Boundary Waters extremely early, or if you're coming back very late, you can still stop there and stretch your legs and relieve.
Great.
Yeah.
So when's the official open? You talk about the soft open.
Right.
When's the hard open?
So the ribbon cutting is going to be probably in another month or two. Mm-hmm. There's a few things that they're still trying to iron out. They had a ton of rainwater, stormwater management stuff that was installed, and that's not all completely ready to go. So, you know, they're still doing lots of last-minute touch-up work. One of the cool things that I didn't mention is the building itself is extremely energy efficient. So they have a big, and when I say big, I mean it's huge, solar array, a photovoltaic solar array on one side of one of the parking lots, and they can generate, I think it said 23 kilowatts, which is about 38% of their anticipated energy use. So a third of the building is paying for itself just as far as energy use is concerned.
Well, considering how much office space there is, that's actually a pretty decent amount.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. The building was constructed with SIP, structural integrated panels. So it's basically like foam Lincoln Log blocks that kind of go together. They just fit together, and they're super tight and super energy efficient. Lots of windows that are highly energy efficient. So there's a lot of energy efficiencies that have been built into this building and this site. So as far as sustainability and the ecological footprint, they're doing it right.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, a visitor center is different than a ranger station, and I assume that when you enter the park from other avenues, as you said, from the west, mm-hmm. from the north, from the south,
yeah.
that there are still ranger stations at those entry points where you can get the park pass and to go into the park.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I asked the ranger that I was talking with if there are any other upcoming plans, and right now the visitor center is the primary ranger station that you would visit to get your parking pass or to get your camping pass or whatever else you need. But they said in the future they're hoping to If you've ever been to Teta Gooch, you drive in on right on Highway 61, but then to get into the park itself, you have to go under Highway 61 and then up into the park to get back into where you want to go camping or hiking or wherever. And so he said, our hope is that eventually we will have a ranger station located at the trailhead where all the camping occurs.
Okay.
And that's a future plan. But one of the things that he was very excited about is he said that we've just completed the boardwalk that leads you from the visitor center all the way over to Shovel Point. And if you've ever been to Teta Gooch, you know that your Stairmaster legs will be in full effect. There's lots of up and down, and and it's important that they have the boardwalk in place because it had been hiked so much that all of the tree roots had been starting to get compacted, and it was damaging all the old cedar that they have around there. And so this is a huge benefit. It will just help the ecology of the place continue in a way that it hasn't been able to, you know, just because of it was... When you have that many visitors, 500,000 people visiting, it creates an impact. And so having a raised boardwalk to get to Shovel Point is definitely a good thing.
Why do you think, I realize when they first opened, so the buzz wasn't out and people didn't necessarily think of stopping there, but why, what is that, a 2,000% increase in their visitors over the last 20 years? What was the reason for the change?
You know, I mentioned that Gooseberry has been the crown jewel of the Minnesota State Park system. And I think that because Teta Gooch is relatively new, not a lot of people have known about it. And as more and more people visit and start to wander, I mean, the first time you visit Teta Gooch, you might stop at the visitor center, take the relatively short hike down to visit the Baptism River. This is pretty, this is lovely, and you'll leave. But then you'll also realize, well, no, wait, I'm seeing some people that are way over on Shovel Point, or I'm seeing this Palisade Head in the background, which is huge and enormous and gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what happens is people start to see more and want to experience more, but they don't have time on this trip, and so they're starting to make time for future trips to get out and explore a little bit deeper into the park.
I imagine word of mouth too also helped
spread the word. And you know, it's funny because I was telling the park ranger, I rarely visit Teta Gooch in the summertime. I spend most of my time at Teta Gooch skiing in the winter because their trail system is just phenomenal. It's dynamite. It's challenging and beautiful. And so it's kind of fun for me to visit in the summertime and actually, you know, put my feet in the water when normally there's no water to be had anywhere.
Right. Well, fantastic. Well, a new meeting place for Teta Gooch, as we said, a French-Canadian word for meeting place. That's
the meeting
great.
Place, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. North Shore with Brian French here on 103.3 KUMD.